Thank you for coming today. The governor in his press conference talked about this whole process as being political. And the one thing he and I can agree on is that this is a mess. It's a mess that has been taking too much time in the legislature. It's a mess that he has created, and it's a mess that we're trying to work through. I am proud of my Republican and Democratic colleagues in trying to work through the process, and I'm supporting them. And I want to be able to also support some of the things that we can do to move this along. I mean, the governor and I do agree. We both love this state, and we hate to see this kind of process be developed where Iowans can't find the truth. And so I'm going to propose to him that he follow just simple management procedures, principles of management that help get through this. Of course, those four principles are planning, organizing, implementing, and controlling. And last week, we talked about an independent audit of the Department of Administrative Services that falls under the organizing principle of management. Today, I want to recommend that the governor consider looking at the controlling principle of management, which would entail trying to collect all the data that is necessary and reviewing it so that Iowans could have a real understanding of the depth of the problem and synthesizing it so that we could find the truth. I'm recommending that he engage the Attorney General, who is the attorney for the executive branch of the state. He already represents the governor and with all of his agencies and in several lawsuits already. Attorney General Miller has proven to be a significant legal mind and a person that I think is beyond approach in his ability to be too much involved in politics. So we're going to be recommending that the Attorney General and the Governor look at all the agencies, determine who's culpable, if there is any, and if there's culpability, how to resolve that. This is the best way to keep it out of politics. There's plenty of time for that in this campaign. And as you know, as a candidate for governor, I'm looking at what's going on because what has happened the last 3 weeks will not only define the political campaigns, but will change Iowa for the future. This, I think we can safely say, politics is not going to be the same. Iowa government's not going to be the same. We have to get people believe in government again and believe in our leaders, and that's our most important responsibility right now.
So what you're talking about is a special prosecutor?
No, not at all. This is why we want to have the Attorney General. He is the attorney for the executive branch and for the governor, and instead of having a special prosecutor, which could be an option of the Legislative Oversight Committee, I'm recommending that he engage the Attorney General now to take a look at all the agreements, all the processes that he has engaged in over the past couple of months or years, and determine whether or not they meet the standard of good government. And this way you kind of eliminate the number of lawyers that might have to be involved in the future. I think the Attorney General would add some civility and some balance to this investigation.
Is it the Attorney General's job to find out what's good government or just what's legal?
It's the governor's job to find out what's good government and the Attorney General's job to determine if it's legal.
Hasn't he already reviewed these documents?
Well, we're just talking about the settlement. There are hiring practices, contracting practices. There are challenges on grievances. And there are other questions that have been raised that aren't even being answered yet. And instead of taking these one at a time, I think the Attorney General could be used by the governor to sort out the legal issues from the political ones.
Does it help in your call that the Attorney General is a Democrat, so it kind of rises above partisanship? Is that?
Well, I mean, that's actually a benefit because then you can argue that you take the politics out of it. By bringing in a Democratic Attorney General with a Republican governor, their best interest is what's best for Iowa. The Attorney General I don't think anybody can complain that he's ever acted partisan in his 32 years as Attorney General. He is one of the most capable Attorney Generals in the country. That's why we should take advantage of him.
But he's also on the ballot this year. I mean, isn't politics inherent in...
Well, I think that, you know, when the governor said to one of your questions this morning that this is all politics, he's got it half right. It, of course, is about politics, but it's also about good government, and it's about managing good government. And right now, I'm trying to be able to provide information where we can get to the point where we could have some faith in the process again, and the Attorney General can bring that kind of stability to this process by just being asked. Now, the Attorney General represents the executive branch and the governor in many high-profile cases already, and you're not hearing Democrats calling for his resignation. We accept the Attorney General's integrity in this process, which would be helpful in identifying how we can get at least the sense that people could have faith in this process. One thing we don't want to make it is political. The legislature has a responsibility through oversight to look at this. And the press has done a good job in reporting it, and to some extent in first initiating these issues. So the legislative oversight is in a position where they could be criticized for being political because it's an election year, or they will be criticized for not being diligent enough in pursuing the due diligence of their responsibility and the due process of their responsibility to execute their duties as an oversight committee. So there are so many questions being raised. We need just find the answers the fastest and best way we can.
What are the essential questions, do you think, that are unanswered?
Well, I think, first of all, are the legal settlements and asking for confidentiality legal? Is the money that was used to pay off the settlements as hush money from any particular group or account that is it would be illegal to take it from? How much was taken? How many of these are there? How many agencies were involved in it? Are these the hit list or the blacklist or the do not hire list, whatever you want to call it? Are there people on that list that shouldn't be there, and why were they put on there, and why are some on and others aren't? I mean, that's just the beginning of those questions that you could start answering, and who in the administration has their finger on the pulse of the management of this state? And right now, we're not sure anybody does, and that's one of the problems that we have. Can we have a government that is being managed, or is it a ship adrift in the sea? I mean, do we have a captain of a ship that's not at the helm? And he says he is, but then he says he doesn't know what's going on. I think part of the problem is we have to have some assurance that somebody is overlooking all the processes of the state. Again, I've asked for an independent audit from the auditor last week, and apparently she's presenting a response. Her staff said that it's a thorough and thoughtful response that will come in a couple of days. And now we're suggesting, just following good management principles, that the governor engage the attorney general as his legal counsel in helping work through this process to ensure that it's not political, that we can ensure and give to the citizens of the state that there's no hidden agenda and there's nothing being swept under the rug.
Do you think Iowans have lost faith with their government?
I think Iowans have legitimately raised a lot of questions on whether or not we are engaged in the policies and procedures that they expect from their government.
And is that losing faith?
I think Iowans are losing faith in their government right now. And, you know, that's on top of the citizenry really believing that their government is not responsive. And that cynicism of government is something that we have to kind of fight against. There are a lot of good people in government, a lot of good leaders. This is Iowa, after all. We understand what it means to have good government and have responsive government, protecting the taxpayers, but also providing the essential services. That's a delicate balance. And when you have a mess like this that's come in, and created the kind of instability in our ability to govern, then citizens are going to ask, how is that possible? Why is that happening? And so we have to pursue that. And it's to my advantage as a candidate for governor to string this out for months. And I'm proposing today a way in which we can get to the answers faster. That goes with, I think, executive leadership, and that gives, our ability to get and work through this in a way in which we all can get the answers that we want.
The governor said today that the state stopped using general contractors for construction projects as a way to get rid of project labor agreements. Is that a legitimate reason?
I think the governor got rid of, found a way to get rid of project labor agreements because he thinks it's overly indulged in union contracting. And the fact is, I'm a private contractor, I'm a developer, I have union contractors, and I have non-union contractors. I get the best bang for my buck by having a more flexible way of doing things. He established a procedure to get rid of something he didn't like. It was a political decision that he made, and I don't think he could really now, I don't think he could justify his political reason of eliminating PLAs and his new management style of managing and contracts to determine the accountability of those contracts. I think there's a disconnect. I think that they found that there's, we found that there are potentially more opportunities for violating good management principles the way he's doing it now. And so I think there's a failure in that kind of experience. And that experiment that he's doing was based on his political belief that he wanted to get rid of big union contractors, which, quite frankly, is just very unfortunate. We have great contractors in the state, union and non-union, big unions contractors and small union contractors, big non-union contractors and small non-union contractors. This state is big, is as big as St. Louis. We rise and fall together. We have to get the best of all of our contractors to work on Iowa projects, not eliminate them from consideration.
But you're saying that too many of these contracts were going to Illinois contractors.
Well, I think he's got to prove that. I think he has to prove that. I mean, he just engaged Iowa taxpayers in a huge development of a fertilizer plant in southeast Iowa. Those were contractors from Illinois, Missouri, and Iowa. That's under his governance. Now, is he going to say he can't use those contractors for Illinois and Missouri? And that's what he appears to be saying about his predecessor, Governor Colbert. You know, it's just unfair to be blaming another governor that, which he did today, he talked about the across-the-board cut. He blamed Governor Colbert. We had the worst recession since the Great Depression, and Governor Colver acted decisively. May not have liked his decision, but he did it, and he did it well, and he gave Governor Branstad a surplus of $550 million when he entered this office 3.5 years ago, and a balanced budget. I do not know why this governor keeps on creating this myth that Governor Colver gave him a state in a budgetary mess. I can tell you one thing. The mess he's creating now with his internal procedures is a mess that is disproportionately higher than anything you could have tagged with Governor Colbert.
As a contractor, was it your experience or did you see evidence under the Colbert administration that outside contractors were squeezing out smaller Iowa contractors?
No, first of all, I'm not a contractor, I'm a developer. I'm the guy that hires contractors and hires architects. I'm basically in the same position as the state is in, so that's my position. And I didn't see any evidence of any kind of favoritism. These are big projects, and you have to work pretty hard to get the best dollar amount that you can get. And the state has a budget, and you can't go over that. And in my work, I have a budget, too. I can't exceed the amount of financing I have created. So it's hard work to get your project and your design of your project to fit your budget. And you just need as many opportunities and options as you can. And I think what the governor has done, at least in my review of his procedures, has created less flexibility and fewer areas of accountability. He has general contractors assuming the responsibility of protecting the state. Under previous models, we had professional state employees protecting the taxpayers of the state, and that's what I think you really want. So I think there's a huge, and there may be nothing illegal about that. I mean, that's just a model of how you manage. That model, though, is not proven, clearly it's not proven to be effective.